pause, maybe a little bit past time to start. Want to welcome everybody out this afternoon, especially those who are with us who are visiting. We certainly are encouraged and uplifted every time we have visitors, and we want you to know that you are our honored guests. I'll mention the names again that are on the sick list. We want to know Pam Bays and Wilma Hamilton. Those are a couple of members at the Northwest Church of Christ who are dealing with some health issues. We want to continue to them. As far as our order of worship this afternoon, we're going to call Mike Johnson to word our opening prayer. Of course, if there's anyone here that needs to partake of the Lord's Supper, Tony Barron will be taking care of that. Dave Dickerson will be leading us in song. He was selected 321 as our first selection, so you can take your song books and be turning to that. Chuck will be bringing us the lesson of the hour, and then I will take care of the closing prayer. And those are the announcements that I have. So let's take out our song books and sing songs of praise to God.
Take them to yourselves in song and hymn, spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So let's all get hymnal and turn to hymn number 321 and make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers lie. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus comes with me, I'll go. His cross to bear.
708. Hymn number 708. After this song, we'll have our opening prayer. Brother Mike Johnson will lead us in a word of prayer.
Walking in sunlight on my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail.
Praising you as the only true living God. Father, we're so thankful that you give us this avenue of prayer to come before you to make our wants and petitions known unto you. And we're so grateful for that. And Father, we're grateful that you've allowed us the time to come out here this evening to worship you, to assemble in capacities such as this. And Father, we pray that as we are into this worship service, that we would do so with our minds in the proper places, put the thoughts and the cares of the world away and focus on you and your word during this hour. We pray, dear Lord, as we are singing song to you at this time, that we would send the spirit and understanding that you would have us, as Brother Dave leads us, so we can strengthen and encourage one another in song and hymn and spiritual song. We pray for Brother Chuck as he readies to speak to us here in just a few moments. Give him a good remembrance of the things that he has prepared, and help us in the audience to open our Bibles and minds to make sure the things that are presented are the truth from your word. And if so, if need be, help us to make that application to our personal lives, so we can be better in our service to you, that we can take what we learn and that we can teach others about you and the gospel. Father, we're mindful of those that were mentioned sick, those at this number. We pray your blessings upon them. Also those Pam Bays and others mentioned in Northwest. We pray for those situations as well, and pray for your healing hand upon them. That if it be your will, that you might return that normal portion of health. Father, we're also mindful that it might be those amongst us even here tonight that might be struggling spiritually. Be with them, Heavenly Father, in their specific situation, whatever that might be, and bless them in whatever way that they might need. Help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to one another to recognize our duties and responsibilities to one another, to do the things that we need to do to be a true family, to be a congregation that is alive and that is working, and not only taking the gospel to those in this area, but also keeping in mind the members here and the things that they might need. Father, we're also mindful that from time to time that we do sin and we fall short of your glory and do things that we shouldn't do. Forgive us of those things, Heavenly Father, as we repent of them. We're thankful for answered prayers regarding the building and that process, and we pray for the next process and getting moved into that, and we pray your hand upon that, and help us to do what we can, and Lord, part of that effort. And we thank you for the blessing on the new building, and help us to recognize that it does come from you, that all the things that you bless us with are from your hand and your hand only. Father, mindful of prayers offered this morning from Brother Tim, Brother TJ, we say amen to those. And Father, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Being here this evening, that's need to protect the Lord's Supper. Okay, let's turn to hymn number 150. Hymn number 150. I travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden of my weary back allowed me to despair. I all complain to Jesus, how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be thankful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say. I sacrifice a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it the loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands in
for those that have opportunity to take the Lord's Supper that weren't able to this Lord's Day morning. Let's remember the sacrifice that was made upon the cross on our behalf. Without that pain and suffering, we wouldn't have this chance for eternal life after this life here on earth is over. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior. We are indeed thankful for the sacrifice that was made. We pray as those that partake of this unleavened bread will reflect back upon that scene of the cross and think of the things that were done for us. Father, we pray that you bless this unleavened bread and pray that those about to partake of it will do so in a manner that's well pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. anyone else? Give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for the opportunity to partake of this fruit of the vine communion of Thy Son's blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. We pray that as we gather around this table in remembrance of that sacrifice that was made on our behalf, we pray that those that partake of it will reflect back upon that day and partake of it in a manner well pleasing to Thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Collection plate will be left up here for those that didn't have opportunity to lay by in store this morning that need to do so in the services.
If you would at this time mark in your hymnals, number 356 will be the song of encouragement after today's lesson. 356. Turn now to hymn number 72. Hymn number 72.
Beyond the sunset, O blissful morning, when with our Savior and His beyond, earth's toiling ended, a glorious dawning, beyond the sunset. When day is done, beyond the sunset.
Bibles, please. You can follow along as we read from a text in the book of John, John the 5th chapter, John chapter 5. Good to see everyone out tonight. I want to make mention of a radio program. It's been 5 weeks in a row that we've had calls for people wanting the course or the bulletin. I always put a lot of pressure on the person who helps the next week. So next week, it's Keith. And you've got to keep that roll going with six in a row, hopefully six calls in a row on the radio program. Of course, it's no particular fault if you don't get it. But I'll let them off. Okay, in John chapter 5, I want to read the first 15 verses, folks. The first 15 verses. Let's find out what this incident in the life of Jesus. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they said to him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" The one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Reading that this week. When I was reading that story this week, I thought to myself, there are three things that I think I asked to myself, well, that seemed a little odd. Why did Jesus say that? So three things we're going to notice, three statements or three things that Jesus did, and we're going to answer the question, why did he do that? Frog in the throat. First thing that I want us to observe is verse 6. This guy has been ill for 38 years. Can't walk. And Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Yeah. Like, why are you asking? Why would you ask that question? Well, there's a simple reason. There's a couple of things I want us to consider, first of all, with that. Believe it or not, that there are some people who don't want to be made well. I said, seriously? Yeah, there are people who do not want to be made well. Sometimes people get to the point that where they always want people to do things for them. You know, if I'm well, and then I'm going to have to do for myself. And so I gotten into the habit of other people doing for me. So it really was a good question. Do you want to be made well? Because sometimes people don't want to be made well. Sometimes people crave attention. No, I don't want to get well. I like the idea of always having attention. Then you have people who give up. Sometimes people have been sick. You're sick this long, forget about it. The idea of even being cured is far, the farthest thing from my mind. Sometimes people get to the point where they just give up. They don't want to be made well. And I can't be made well, so why even think about it? So those are the hypothetical thoughts that are there in the eye in the eyes of a physical person, you know, physically sick. But I want you to understand, folks, that the same premise is true in the spiritual realm. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest," you know, Jesus will help people who ask him. Remember that passage in Matthew chapter 7. "Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive." Ask. You see, the whole idea of wanting to be made well, Jesus says, "Do you want to?" You know, I need to ask people that spiritually. Do you want to? You know, there are a lot of people in this world that just don't want to be made well. But they don't want to. For one reason or another. They're content with their life. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of reasons why people might be that way. For example, I turn over to 1 John. You ask somebody, well, do you want to be made well spiritually? No, I don't want to. Well, why wouldn't you? You and I sit back and say, why wouldn't somebody want to be made well? Well, for the obvious reason that they like being spiritually sick. Because he says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. I like those things. I like being spiritually sick. I love the world. I don't want to be made well. You say, well, Chuck, you're comparing apples and oranges here. You know, you're talking about somebody who's physically sick. What physically sick person doesn't want to be made well? Well, they might be exceptions to the rule, but there are times when people don't want to be well. There are people who want to be sick. Have you ever heard of a hypochondriac? You know, there's a person that says, I've got this and I've got that. They might not want to be, but they force themselves that they've got everything under the sun. But there are times when people, as I gave illustrations earlier, are people who don't want to be made well. Our Lord wants people to ask, because it all comes back to this idea of them making their own choice. I mentioned this morning in our class in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, where the God will send a strong delusion that people will believe a lie. If you want to believe a lie, fine. Mike mentioned on the radio today that familiar text in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. You know, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we prophesied in your name, done many wonders in your name? You know, there are people there who have convinced themselves that they're well, but they're sick. They're sick. Well, do you want to be made well? Well, no, because I already think I'm fine, thank you. That's like a lot of us who don't want to go to the doctor. Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. You know, we got all these symptoms of sickness, but we're in denial. You know, I don't want to be made well because I don't need to be made well. Of course, this person, 38 years, not walking, I think he knows he's not well. But spiritually, we need to understand there are times when people don't want to be made well. And you and I need to come to grips with that. As a Christian, of me going into all the world and preaching the gospel, you doing the same thing, letting our light shine before men, we want people to obey. But we need to understand, you know, they're not screaming it at us, but maybe in a way they're telling us, hey, I don't want to be made well. I like being sick. You call it sickness. I call it doing whatever I want. I call it loving the world. I like sin. People enjoy that, folks. That's why the Hebrew writer in chapter 11 said, you know, that the passing pleasure of sin. There's pleasure. I mean, I'm not going to deny the fact, guys. Sin is pleasurable. Now, it's fleeting. It doesn't last very long. That's why, you know, when you compare that with somebody that's on drugs, there's a short high. You know, you get that high of utopia. It's great. Then crash. Then what do you want? I want that feeling again. There it is. And then crash again. Warren and I were talking about that today. The dangers of addiction. And it gets a hold of people. I was telling him, I said, it's scary. I watched some documentaries on that of some drugs out there. And we were talking about working up a lesson on that. I didn't think I'd talk about it so soon, Warren. But what was scary is we were talking about how that there are some drugs out there. You try it once. Hooked. Once. That's scary. That's scary. But let's talk about sin in a general sense. People enjoy sin. It's the path of least resistance. It's easy to tell a lie. It's real easy. Did you do that? No. Okay. Well, that was easy. And you go on. It's easy not doing what the Lord wants you. That's why it's called a broad road in Matthew 7. It's real easy. You know, and when we're going around telling people, hey, do you want to be made well? No. I'm fine. I like my life. I think preachers have gone too far when they're trying to tell people, you're really not happy. You're really not. You think you're happy with that mansion and that job. And it. Folks, they're happy. Okay? They're happy. You know, you talk about some of these guys. I'm watching these guys golfing. They're in San Diego and in short sleeves. It's warm. And they're going to make $1 million. That's a job? That's a job. Oh, you're not really happy with your... You're not really a happy person, are you, Phil? Huh? I got family. I got my health. You know, I got money. I got it all. And but we come back from a spiritual standpoint and say, oh, but you're really empty inside. Folks, let's not deceive ourselves. They're happy. It won't be lasting. But the point is, there are people who don't want to be made well. Okay? Now, hopefully, we can help people, because we have. Those of us who are Christians have put that pride aside. And we were like this man. I'm going back to John 5. Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? Of course, he's like, well, how can I? Can't get down in the water. Every time that water stirred, it's a different story. Some think to think that, well, it's something that had been passed around where people believed that that kind of happened. And people would go down in there and they would be healed, psychosomatic illnesses and things like that. There are people who... I'm not saying it's not a sickness, but you can make yourself sick. And so does that kind of thing happen? Well, that's another lesson. But the point is, this person was wanting to be healed. He said, I can't get down in there. And so Jesus turns around and makes him well. So the question I have for you tonight, in this first point that we spent time talking about, do you want to be made well? Well, Chuck, am I sick? I don't know. Are you? See, from a spiritual standpoint, that's why we have in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we examine ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. And I hope that we can be the type of person that says, look, if I am sick, yes, I want to be made well. And that's going to entail us repenting of our sins. If we're not a Christian, that would entail us becoming a Christian. Do we want to be made well? That's the key to all of this in comparison with what we have here. Now, I'm going to have more to shed on this point as we look at the other two, okay? Because there's some things that relate. So that's one of the questions that came to mind when I was going through this. Why are you asking him, does he want to be made well? Of course he does. Sometimes people don't. Well, as we read through this text, something else becomes rather interesting to me. And that's in verse 8. Jesus said, now this isn't so much, he didn't ask a question, but he said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, when I read this text, I say, I clearly understand the rise. But Jesus, why did you say take up your bed? You mean everybody, these people who were critical of what happened here, they were walking around. So tell the man, arise. Get up, you're healed, everything's wonderful. But Jesus, when you said pick up the bed, didn't you see that coming? Didn't you see that that was going to create a problem? This is the Sabbath. You're kind of shooting yourself in the foot here, aren't you? Just say rise up, because everybody else is doing it. He would have just blended in there. And Jesus wouldn't have been in trouble with those religious leaders of that day. But there's a reason why he brings it up. Look in verse 16, same chapter. I'm in John chapter 5. Verse 16 says, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. One of the things that Jesus wanted to get across, yeah, he could have just said arise. But by saying, arise and take up your bed, you need to understand that I have the authority to say that. Trying to get people to understand the authority of our Lord. I think that the sooner we understand that point and we try to communicate that to the people that we love dearly and the people that we're teaching, that we're not trying to force down them our thoughts or our ideas. We simply want them to do what the Lord said. That's it. Like I've said before, this is not Church of Christ doctrine. We're teaching the doctrine of Christ. We're trying to get people to be converted to Christ. I don't want you to become a Church of Christ Christian. I want you to become a Christian. Just become a Christian. Yes, he added you to his church, Acts 2:47, but just become a Christian. This morning we talked about that denomination, non-denomination stuff. Just understand what the church is. Promote, you know, preaching the church doesn't promote division. It promotes unity. It's the great thing about it. And so when I think about this idea that Jesus wants people to understand that, we teach salvation. But some people say, why, if we're going to teach baptism here, don't preach Acts 22 and verse 16. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Saul was told, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, call on the name of the Lord. Look, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed. Just say rise. It'd be less controversial. No. We're just going to tell it like it is. Chuck, just preach. You got to have faith, but belief and baptism, you're asking for trouble in the religious realm. It stirs up trouble. Just tell people all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. No, because as Jesus was saying, he has the authority to say that. We have the words of our Lord that teaches that. What about the idea of preaching the gospel? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, people will say, Chuck, I don't care what you preach, radio, TV, or whatever. Get out. Go ahead, teach anything you want. Religious leaders would say that to me. But here's where the problem comes. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Chuck, why do you guys want to point the finger at error? Because we want to expose error. The reason Jesus brings that up is because take up your bed and walk is because he's exposing their attitude. You religious leader, who do you think you are? You're not Lord over the Sabbath. You don't make the rules here. And I have the authority, and I demonstrated, I proved who I was, I walked around, I performed these miracles. You couldn't do that. You're not backing it up with, not only with, you're not backing up with this, but you're not even confirming the word. And so with you and I, when we go ahead and preach the word, people say, go ahead, Chuck, preach on anything you want, but don't point the finger at error. Don't expose the unfruitful works of darkness. No, no, that's what we're going to do. That's what we are supposed to do. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. When we teach, we say, don't make it so narrow. And that was our morning lesson. Truth is absolute. There is no gray area, and we will not apologize. That was, again, tied in. This makes a good follow-up to the morning lesson that we had. We need to be just like the apostles in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. When they told them, you know, you go, but just stop teaching this word. They said, well, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see, and here's the point. Why back there in John chapter 5, Jesus, why didn't you just say, rise? Everything would have been fine. But no, you had to say, pick up your bed and walk. Now they're noticing this. What's wrong with that? We obey God. I obey my Father. I'm doing His will. And that's what we read later on in that chapter 5. That's what you and I are here to do. We're doing the will of our Father. So we need to remember those words and that we ought to obey God rather than men. And the morning lesson from Matthew chapter 5, too often the traditions of men become laws. And that's what was happening during the lifetime of Jesus when he walked on the face of this earth, of what they were trying to bind on people. Okay. Now here's the one that started the sermon. Usually when I go through a text, usually something jumps out at me and then I think of other points. Well, I thought of this point first and then I worked the lesson around it. When I was reading this text, and I don't know if you thought the very same thing as me, but let's go now back to John chapter 5. And notice this, when Jesus sees him again, this jumped out at me in my reading this week. Verse 14. After Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. 38 years, not being able to walk. What worse could happen to me? What are you talking about? What worse thing could come upon me? Now, you and I both know that there's two possible ways that we can answer that. And both will be valid, and we're going to spend time on both of them.
think you know the obvious one. The obvious worst. Missing heaven. Hell. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But physically, this ties into what I was talking about a little bit earlier with addiction and things like that. What could possibly happen? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to understand that I don't know. I was reading an article by a brother, and we got to be careful of making assumptions with the Word of God. He was actually talking about this text that I'm talking about tonight. And he was under the impression that because of the phrase I just read, something worse come upon you, that he thought that that meant the reason why this person was suffering for 38 years was because of something he did. I think that's a stretch. I think that's a stretch. I don't think it's even implied in there that, well, don't go ahead and sin because look what sin did to you before. I don't think that's implied. But what I understand from this Peter passage and other passages I'll make mention in just a moment, there are times when we can sin and we can bring things upon ourselves that hurt. And he mentions that. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 14. He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Now let's just back up for a moment. Wait a second. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, suffer as a thief, suffer as an evildoer, as a busybody. Well, I'm some of those people. Why are they suffering? Well, he said, don't suffer as a thief. It seems to me that if you're a thief, you're not suffering, you've gained something. Well, he's talking about here of what can happen when you do transgress. You can suffer for doing bad things. Now, I don't want to imply that every time somebody suffers in this world is because they've done some bad things. I don't want to imply that at all. What I am implying is what Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just quickly go to Matthew chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount. You guys remember the Beatitudes? But listen to what he said here. It's an interesting point. I'm moving on down to, well, let's just start verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When it talked about inheriting the earth, and then talking about living long in this life, let's face it, folks. When you stay out of trouble, chances are you're going to live longer. Chances are you're going to live longer. When I'm watching the news at night and I see that somebody got in a bar fight at 2 o'clock in the morning and he was stabbed, I'm thinking to myself, that's never happening to me. It's not going to happen to me. Now, I could get stabbed somewhere else, you know, Walmart or something, you know, cutting in line. But the point is that there are situations that increases the chances of you getting hurt and your life cutting short. Drugs, okay? Obviously, the addictions that we were talking about today. You know, when Paul said that he buffeted his body, he kept things in control. And I'll tell you, there are so many dangers out there that get us out of control. So many addictions. And I'm going to preach on that soon. And I appreciate Warren wanting to talk about that. But we need to be warned about those. And they come in all shapes and sizes. So I won't belabor the point on that. But as I'm talking about here, that there are times when God advises us, you know, we try to live peaceably with all men. He mentions in here, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, I don't want people to hurt me. You know. But he mentions here in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, you know, you could suffer. That's where the innocence comes. Remember in verse 16? If anyone suffers as a Christian, now you could suffer at no fault of your own. So I don't want to even imply that if something happens to Dan here. He's in the hospital. Oh, that was me. I hope you guys weren't thinking, what did he do wrong? You know, it's not because of sin. There are times when you sin innocently, but there are times when you bring it upon yourself. You know, when a guy's incarcerated because he's a thief that I just read here, he got caught red-handed stealing a car. And if you visit him in the jail and he goes, why do these things happen to me? Do you have sympathy for him? You brought this on yourself. Okay? But what our lesson is, when Jesus says, well, go sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What could be worse than 38 years and you can't walk? Well, I tell you, maybe, possibly, being in constant pain. I mean, from a physical standpoint, could things get worse? Maybe things could get a whole lot worse for that person. But I think the main point that he's talking about here is Matthew chapter 25. Because go and sin no more. Well, Peter tells us that you could sin and bring things upon you. Don't suffer as an evildoer. Evildoers can suffer. I know sometimes evildoers can get away with murder. I know that. But you want to know something? Not always. People who abuse themselves, some get away with it. Some get away with that. There are people who family members, drink and smoke and yet there I am laying in the hospital almost dead. You know, and they're thinking, you know, well, what's to be gained by healthy living? There are exceptions, folks. But it's not the norm. And so when I think about this whole idea in Matthew chapter 25, when he says, you know, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you, you think 38 years of not being able to walk is bad? You can think of any physical infirmity that anybody here might have or know. I knew of a brother up north who had throat cancer. If you've ever seen the latter days of that, terrible. I know there are a lot of terrible ways to die in this world. And 38 years of this infirmity. But nothing that you guys and I would ever experience in this world can be compared to what our Lord is talking about here. In Matthew chapter 25, he says in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And the reason why I wanted to read that verse 46 is because of Luke 16. Because when you go to Luke 16, you remember that sermon I preached? It's been a few months ago. But maybe it was an invitation. But I said that rich man, remember Lazarus and the rich man both died, and he said, you know, send Lazarus, he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I said, guess what, guys? He's still there. When was that written? Over 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he begged Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water, come and cool his tongue, because he was tormented in that flame. He said that 2,000 years ago. He hasn't had any reprieve since then. He's still there, folks. And so that's why he says, you know, you go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Because anything that happens in this world, a worse thing will come from sin. And so when I look at those statements and you know, at first glance and say, a worse thing, look what he went through. And there's people in this world that are suffering and going through some terrible things. But that's why we get back to our previous point. Number one is, do you want to be made well? Well, of course I want to be made well spiritually. Why? This person wanted to be made well. What did he do? He rose up and he walked. What's that sound like? He said, Jesus said, rise. Get up. 38 years, get up. And what does that remind you of? Oh, I love this. Perfect as we wind into this. You know the text, but I'm just going to read it. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Resurrection. That's what he's talking about here. that you and I should rise. Look at verse 4. Therefore we were buried, Romans 6, of course, verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism and death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Rise up. You know what I'm saying tonight? Anybody here that's not a Christian, number one, I want you to say, I want to be made well. And I want to say the same things that Jesus said to this person. Rise. But you're not going to rise until you get buried. You need to put to death the old man and rise up what? In newness of life. You need to be cured. You need to be made well. Jesus just spoke it. That's what I love about preaching the gospel today and the power of it. That's why I don't want people to put any trust in me. I'm just a man. My words mean nothing, but this means everything. And so you talk about power. We just read in John, we just read where he just said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And look at verse 9. Immediately the man was made well. Immediately. Wow, he just said it. Not a big ceremonial thing. He just said it and the guy got up. Who can do something like that? And so when a person is goes down in the water, he graves a baptism, and he rises up in newness of life. How did that happen? Because the Lord said so. There's power in his words. Your sins are washed away. The blood has covered you. You rise up in newness of life because you put to death the old man. How do I know that? The same way this person was healed, you're healed. You've got to have that confidence. You've got to have that confidence in Christ and what he can do. So when I look at this, you know what? They weren't so absurd. Yes, you want to be made well? Yes, take up your bed too. Pick that up. Well, they're not going to. Pick up your bed and go. You just do what I say. Don't worry about what other people think. And too many times, people worry about what other people think. See, that's why point number one relates to point number two, because I'm telling you, I want you to want to be well, and number two, I don't want you to worry about what other people think. You're not here to please man. You're here to please the Lord. And guess what? When you do that, and you go about serving him, you're doing all that you can to avoid something worse. Because something worse will come upon you. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 5. That's what I loved about this text. You go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. And guess what? That goes for all of us here. If we have unrepented sin in our life, I'll tell you straight, something worse will come upon us. It's waiting for us beyond the grave. Yeah, there are things that can come upon us now if we're living an ungodly life that could affect us physically. I know that. There are all kinds of things that can hurt us. But that's why I want us to make sure that we are well spiritually. In just a few moments, we're going to be standing and singing a song of invitation. I want you to think about this man who was sick for a long time. And the Lord giving you the invitation. Will you accept his invitation to be made well? The person needs to be well is the person who's lost in sin. Have you ever obeyed the gospel? Have you ever put on Christ? That's why Jesus Christ came. He came and he gave his life for you so that you could be made well. You're sick. We've all been sick at one time spiritually. But we wanted to be made well. Those of us that are Christians said, I want to be made well. Jeff just told me of a young man today, which is great. It's always great to hear this. I don't care where it happens on the face of this earth. But Jeff just shared with us that a young man over at Northwest, I want to become a Christian today. It's great. A person that just says, I want to be made well. That's another way to say it. When a person says, yeah, I want to be baptized. That's just another way of saying, I want to be made well. I don't want to suffer something worse. I want to become a Christian now. And you can tonight. Put on Christ. Be added to the body. Live faithfully till death. Do the best that you can. When you falter, repent. And that's where we get into the second part of the invitation. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to be made well, lest something worse come upon you. And we're offering you that invitation right now as we stand together and sing the song now, 356.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away?
Ourselves before you, thanking you for this day of life you've given us, this opportunity that we've had to come and acquire this place this day, Father, and worship you. We are so humbled, Father, by your great love and mercy in sending Jesus to purchase us from our sins. We pray, Father, that as Chuck talked about tonight about wanting to be well, pray, Father, that then in each and every one of our minds and our hearts, that is something that we truly desire, the healing power that only comes from you, Father, the spiritual healing. We are so grateful, Father, that you loved us so when we were still your enemies. Now, Father, as we depart this place and go into our respective homes, help us, Father, to think about the things that we've said and done this day, that we've sought to worship you and to pour out our hearts and love and thanksgiving for all that you've done to us. Father, you have showered such bounty upon us. We pray, Father, that we might be mindful of the things that are going on around us, the things that are trying to get our attention. We pray, Father, that we won't let the material things of this life stop us from pursuing the things that are eternal and forever, and that is that kingdom where you are. Help us, Father, to each day of our lives to continue to weigh in the balance our service to you and where we stand. Now, Father, we ask you to please look down upon us in tender mercy. Forgive us when we failed you. Father, we pray for the souls of our children, that they will turn to you while there is time, and that they might faithfully serve you in a lifetime, Father, that we might one day all gather around that throne where you are. This is our heart's desire, Father, and we thank you so much for Jesus, who's made that hope possible. We make this prayer in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Sir,
how you doing, fellas?
How you doing?